The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
Hello and welcome to episode 143 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, and as you just heard there, I am joined by former Hibs, Aberdeen and the Portadown Pelly. That is Steve Cowan. How are you doing, Stevie boy?
I'm very well, Stephen. How are you keeping?
I mean, this is going to be a fascinating day, right? This is a fascinating day on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Not anything to do with the football, because we've also got producer John here as well. How are you doing, John? You okay?
I'm okay, Stephen.
And just a sort of wee peek behind the curtain. I like doing that.
Yeah.
Like just explaining to people what goes on behind the scenes a wee bit. Or if you're watching on YouTube, our cameras usually auto sort of move to whoever's speaking, right?
Yeah.
So if you're watching on YouTube and I say something, it usually comes to me. And then if you say something, Steve, it'll go over to you. However, there's an issue with it today.
There's a glitch.
There's a glitch in the system, right, that hasn't been resolved by the time of us starting recording this, which means the sweaty octopus is having to auto... Or sorry, manually, he's having to manually switch the cameras, and this is causing him all sorts of hassle.
He's not happy.
He's not a happy man.
It's a lot to do now, so I've got to push all the music stuff, I've got to control the cameras. I might just stick it on the wide shot, you know.
But then people don't get to see a lovely close-up of my face.
There you go. I think lovely is just... over-egging it a wee bit.
Over-egging it slightly.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fine. Anyway, how was your weekend, Steve? Was that right?
Yeah, very good. I mean, it just gets better and better with the football. Back-to-back football, Saturday, back-to-back football, Sunday. Brilliant.
But then, obviously, we've got International Week coming up and, you know, like...
Oh, it's a big letdown, isn't it?
Are you one of these people who just hates international football?
Or? Yeah, I don't get excited about international football, it has to be said. Never have done, never will do. I just love the club football.
But you want Scotland to win?
Oh, obviously you want Scotland to win, yeah.
But it's just not your thing.
It's not my thing. I'll watch it because...
There's none else on.
It's on council telly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on BBC too, yeah.
So I'll watch it. Channel. It's a game of football.
Yeah, exactly. So how was your weekend, John? You were in here, were you not?
I was in here for Super Scoreboard yesterday producing the show. Oh my God. Well, I'm sure we'll get on to what a bore fest that was.
It was terrible, wasn't it? It was really bad.
So I missed the Falkirk game, so I'm gutted about that. I'm sure we'll speak about that a bit later.
We're actually not going to speak about that today.
Are we not?
We've decided not to speak about the Falkirk game today. Unfortunately, John. So no, we won't be.
Can we talk about
the
Dunfermline game then?
Yeah, we can talk about it if you want. That's fine, baby. Yeah, that's okay. So it was obviously a big weekend. Lots happening. Any sort of run-ins with any sort of steak restaurants this week, John, or anything like that?
No run-ins with steak. People were piling on me for slagging off, and I'm going to retract it. I'm going to give him 4 stars because I feel really bad.
Right.
Because someone pointed out that Chateaubriand doesn't normally get cut up. That's how it's served.
Right, okay.
So I was like, oh, because it's new to me, Stephen. You know, I'm not cultured like you, Fife.
Who cuts your food normally for you?
Yeah, does your wife sort of like cut up your food for you?
No, but like...
But it sounded like...
When you get the Chateaubriand, it comes as one big lump of meat, do you know what I mean? You think it would be cut up into slices, Steve. But presumably, they put it as it is, as the whole thing, so you can choose what sort of thickness of steak you would have.
I just think you're havering.
Yeah, I think you're clearly mollycoddled in your house. Do you do any cooking or anything?
Oh, I am. I'm top cook, top man.
Actually?
Oh, absolutely.
What's your go-to dish?
For me to make?
Aye.
What's my go-to?
You can turn your hand to anything.
I venture across the world. I did a lovely brisket last week. Lovely slow cooker brisket, barbecue brisket.
That's not really cooking though, John. Slow cooking is not cooking because you put it in a cooker and leave it for 8 hours.
I did a chicken penang the other
very good.
So I'm pretty handy in the old kitchen.
Very good. Steve, you're not a chef at all, are you?
I'm not allowed near the kitchen.
Right, okay.
No, I am not allowed near the kitchen, not allowed near the garden, not allowed near any DIY. No.
Steve, what did you have for your dinner on Saturday night? We're always interested about that.
Yeah. Saturday night was a chicken curry, a Chinese. Yeah, we chicken balls.
Okay, on the side.
Chicken balls on the plate as well with the orange sauce. Is it on or the glaze?
The sweet and sour sauce.
Uh-huh.
Aye, yeah.
And fried rice.
And fried rice. That sounds.
And I cut it myself.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
well done.
Do you know what I found out at the weekend? Like, you remember the old days where you used to go to the takeaway and you'd pick up your takeaway and you'd have a pint?
Mm-hmm.
They can't do that anymore. So I was like, you know how you go to the takeaway bit, I'll order my curry, I'll have a pint of Kingfisher, thank you very much. But then you get ushered to another section now because they can't serve in the actual, you know, the takeaway area. So you need to get shuffled into the restaurant to have a pint now.
No, John, the Indian that I use where we go, they can do that for you. So you walk in, there's a bar area, and while you wait for your carry out to come, uh-huh, you can get a pint or three or whatever you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into any area. They sit you there and give you a drink.
Ah, really? I thought it was just, maybe it's just the Indian. I go to the Gulnar and Larbert. It's very good, by the way.
Or maybe they're like, oh Christ, here's this guy coming in again, and he just gets steaming and we can't get rid of him.
And you don't serve this man.
Here's this guy to ask us to cut up his curry for him again, you know. He's incapable of using cutlery. So I don't remember. You know what I always associate, right? And I don't know, it must have just been me. Again, Saturday night, I used to quite often get a Chinese. You used to go to the Dunfermline games, come up the road, get a Chinese. And I associate you've been framed with Chinese takeaways because it seemed that every single time I was in a Chinese takeaway, you've been framed was on, right? So they had like a
telly. Oh, the telly up in the corner.
Aye, they had like a telly in the corner. And it was always you've been framed. And we're talking like you're going back to Jeremy Beadle times, right? God rest his soul. And then like Lisa Riley and stuff like that. That's the era of you've been framed. And I just always associate it with Chinese takeaways. And every time I go into a Chinese takeaway now, I'm disappointed that you've been framed's not on.
There's not even a telly now.
Exactly.
Think about you've been framed, like, it was £250 a video from day dot. And, the video did not increase with inflation. And then you started buying in videos from abroad and stuff like that.
There's bound to be somebody listening to this podcast, no matter where you are in the world, who sent a video in to You've Been Framed.
No, there will have been.
There has to have been. If you ever sent a video into You've Been Framed, please let us know in the comments.
Definitely.
Let us know in the comments, wherever you are. If you receive, and if you, I mean, if I received the cheque for £250, I would frame it. I literally would frame it. So if there's anyone listening who ever sent a video in to You've Been Framed, this is another thing as well, right? Obviously, they use clips from all around the world, I think. Like, it wasn't just in the
UK. America, Australia.
Why was it in America? It didn't matter how sort of like, you know, they could have been the biggest minks in the world, but they still had a camcorder. You know what I mean? How could they afford that? Like, my family didn't have a camcorder when we were growing up.
Only in the US of A.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Do you know what?
Could they afford a camcorder?
Staple diet, camcorder.
Camcorder.
But even in the latter days, I mean, I'm just looking on the You Being Framed Wikipedia here. It ran to 2022, but even in the latter days of You Being Framed in the Harry Hill era, it was still videos from like the 80s and early 90s that got shown. Because it wasn't. You would think it would have moved on with like camera phones and stuff, but even in the Harry Hill era, it was still
TikTok, like You've Been Framed's like dead. TikTok killed You've Been Framed.
TikTok killed You've Been Framed.
TikTok killed
like
You've Been Framed.
Video killed the radio star.
Yeah. TikTok killed You've Been Framed.
Gary, who I do the show with, 2 till 6, I should say, every single afternoon, midweek, he always says that Presto's killed his granddad because his granddad was a manager of a supermarket in Inverness, and then Presto's moved in and obviously took all his business, and his gran always says Presto's killed your granddad. So TikTok
harsh.
Presto's killed Gary Spence's granddad, and TikTok killed You've Been Framed. So there we are, that's it. So keep your comments coming in. If you ever sent a video in to You've Been, because how would that even work back in the day? You'd have to literally
you'd have to
get the VHS and send it in. Like, what a hassle.
Beadle always prefaced it with the engine. Sorry, we can't send the videos back.
Of course, they used to say that.
Packaging and costs and
everything. Exactly. You were already down about £6 sending in the video to You've Been Framed.
£2.50. So how many clips did they use? By the way, when you think about, say they used 100 videos in a half hour episode that You've Been Framed, $25,000 is quite a big outlay.
I bet money.
Plus Beadle would have been
Beadle
costly.
Wouldn't have been cheap. Beadle wasn't
been
cheap.
Costly.
But the thing is, if you look at if you ever watch like Challenge, right, and they show like old episodes of Catchphrase, right, with Roy Walker, with his double-breasted suit and all the rest of it on, telling the shitest jokes. He'd come out at the start and do like a monologue, and it was just shite. Like, it was absolutely shite.
Don't slag Walker.
It was though, John. See if you listen back to it now. It was so bad. Like, the 90s were shite. Like, they were shite. You didn't even have to be good to be on the telly. Because there was only three channels or four channels, so it didn't matter, right? You were just automatically, like, the most famous person in the country. Anyway, Roy Walker, right? At the end, when you went to the big end game on Catchphrase, and then they won it, they'd be like, "Ah, you're right!" And they'd come up, "Here's a holiday to the Dominican Republic worth £6,000, and you'll need some spending money." He just pulls money out of his shirt, and he's like, "There's another £4,000. I tell you what, let's get you another £4,000. Total prize fund of about 30 grand. And this was in 1995.
Money, no object.
No object in the 90s. They were pitching money.
They soon cottoned onto that.
They soon cottoned onto that, and basically, all these people in the 90s, and I include radio as well, they've stolen our money. They've stolen our money. TikTok killed. You've been framed. Presto's killed Gary Spence's granddad. And the 90s have stolen all our money, basically. That's what happened. So,
well done. That's it. You've just summed it up well.
I've just summed it up well. So, yeah, keep your comments coming in on YouTube, at Big Football Scott as well. We always read out the best of the comments the following week. So what we got here then? Sean, Steve, Rangers fans wouldn't be happy beating Celtic and losing against Hearts and Hibs. That's not true. Barry Ferguson was undefeated versus Celtic and nobody wanted him.
The question you've got to ask yourself then, Sean, why did nobody want Fergie?
I don't think he was very good. Like, his record was... Exactly. His record was terrible.
Aye. He'd been Alloa, Clyde, you know what I mean?
No, but even when he came into Rangers, like, they went about 3 months without winning a home game.
But it is. It's a be-all and end-all. Rangers fans would have been happy beating Celtic, and unfortunately, the weekend they didn't.
Barca Bert, quote of the year for Stephen Mill regarding the impending announcement of the Scotland squad. I'll be surprised if there are any surprises. And I did...
Did you say that?
Yeah. I would be surprised if there was any surprise inclusions in the squad. So, I mean, that's... People did point out that's how surprises work, so there you go. BB1872, shocking take from Steve. If Rangers were to beat Celtic, it would just be papering over the cracks and Russell Martin should go no matter what happens. Now, you're commenting on that before the Bruges game as well,
yeah,
which we'll get onto in just a wee second, which was an absolute nightmare. So I'd imagine that's even more true now.
Surely. Well, it is. I mean, BB, you just got to look at the reaction from the fans at the Brugge game. Look at the reaction to the fans.
Oh, you're going Brugge?
It's Brugge. It's Brugge.
Brugge. No, it was interesting because the commentators were saying Brugge and then went back to the studio and they're just like, it's Bruges.
Well, it's Bruges. It's like, you know, but...
John, what would you say? You've got the casting Brugge vote here.
I'd go Bruges.
You'd go Bruges, aye. Yeah, exactly. But listen, no, that's
I just thought I'd be within people for a minute there, going Brugge.
Well, when in Brugge, you know, on you go.
But all the fans were booing. Even at the end of the game, when Russell Martin was walking off, they were booing.
Yesterday.
Yeah, so that tells you everything you need to know. They all want them out. Why are they draping banners over the gates of Ibrox, you know, and basically telling them to Foxtrot Oscar?
Yeah. Gumball says, complaining about not having your steak cut. Jesus Christ. I bet he's the kind of guy that asked the guy in the row in front of him to sit down at the football just to then leave 10 minutes before half time to get his hot dog and Fanta. Yes, that is producer John.
That is not me.
Ryan says, completely disagree with Stephen with regards to the psychology of Rangers. You can't be bad players overnight. These players have had something in their heads that makes them too scared to make a bad pass, etc. It's the old cliche, the shirt is too heavy. As for Iggeman, I'm sorry Martin threw him under the bus. As for Steve's comments of making players come in at 7 p.m, this isn't the 1970s anymore and players aren't running up sand dunes and gulling. Couple of things. I didn't say the players became bad overnight. I just don't think they're very good players.
They weren't good to start with
during the day. I think that's probably the problem. I think that in terms of that Rangers team, we'll get onto the game yesterday. There's just too many players who aren't good enough. Well, that's the long and short of it. I don't think it's a psychology thing. I think it's a not being very good at football type thing.
Oh, totally. But see this, when they it was actually Russell Martin that said it himself about the psychology of the players, or we need to work on it. I'm sure he said something.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
You're either a footballer or you're not a footballer. Get on with it. Play the game. They've all gone walk.
Yeah, the country's going to the dogs. By the way, there was also a couple of people asked me to back up my Brendan Rodgers spending £60 million claim from last week. So I actually went and looked. He has spent nearly £60 million. That was even before the signings that he's made in the past.
In the last 2 years, isn't it?
In the last 2 years. So like you're including the likes of bringing Jota back for £10 million and stuff like that as well. So, or it wasn't quite £10 million, but it was near enough £60 million that he spent. Like, so Brendan Rodgers has been, he's been backed.
He's been given money.
Now, obviously, Celtic have made a lot more money in transfers outgoing in that time as well. So I think that's obviously a wee bit of the bugbear. But we'll get on to that. James, I was at the East Fife game as well when Chris Waddle played for us. If I'm not mistaken, it was his last game for Falkirk. He basically got to Methil and went, fuck this, I'm away. So there we are. Thanks for your comments. Keep them coming on YouTube. And yeah, you can tell us your thoughts on everything we always say. We're happy to hear criticism or otherwise.
Yeah.
And if you disagree with us, that's fine. You're allowed to disagree with us. That's totally
love
fine.
It.
Right, so the past week, an absolute shocker for all the Scottish teams in Europe, kicking off with Celtic losing to Kairat Almaty in a penalty shootout. It was, you know, Celtic were dreadful for long parts of it. Yep. Still should have won. Maeda obviously should have scored.
Hatate had a half a chance.
But, you know, Celtic didn't do enough over really the two legs to go through. And that has to be up there with one of the worst results in Europe that Celtic have ever had, but also a Scottish club have ever had. Got to be.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, the team that we're playing against, 315th ranked in Europe, is it, or the world?
Yeah.
So, when that tells you everything you need to know, but there was no energy, there was no drive, there was no physicality about it. They just get themselves... It was like a sleepwalking into a trap. And they fell right into the trap.
Do you think Celtic will be any better in the Europa League?
No. They'll be worse. Because if you look at it now, I mean, we've got 24 hours, less than 24 hours of the transfer window left.
Well, we've got about 12 hours left. Aye.
And they need at least, for what we're hearing, there's maybe one or two other players leaving, six or seven players to come in.
Yeah, just to let you know, obviously Adam Ida is away. We're also hearing that...
Reports that Maeda's away.
That Maeda is also possibly heading out the door as
Yang
well.
Yang to Birmingham.
So it'll just be... They'll just have to play James Forrest until he dies, basically. I think that's it. James Forrest will be playing for Celtic until he's 55.
Another testimonial for James. That's what we're all wanting.
Two testimonials for James Forrest. So,
but it's a shocking result. Shocking performance.
And Rangers followed it up with an equally shocking result. Now, Club Brugge, or Bruges, were better than Kairat Almaty.
By miles.
Club Bruges were obviously pretty impressive. Now, it was 9-1 on aggregate. I think if Bruges wanted to, it would have been a lot more than that.
Well, if Jack Butland wasn't there, it would have been a lot more
than that. And Jack Butland as well. 9-1, I think, equals the worst ever result for a Scottish team in Europe. Or maybe it was Hibs 9-0. I think Hibs maybe got beat 9-0.
Yeah, back in the 70s, I think.
No, it was under, what's his name, Pat Fenlon. Was it not Malmo or Mulder?
Oh, so it was,
it was one of them.
So it was.
I think it was 9-0. So I think it's the second worst. And I think Rangers lost 12-4 on aggregate to somebody as well back in the 60s or the 70s.
Bayern Munich, it could have been.
An absolute embarrassment for both Celtic and Rangers in terms of the Champions League. When you looked at the fixtures, I think a lot of the fans were like, thank God we didn't qualify for the Champions League because we'd be battered every single week. But that was really bad from Rangers. Like, I think most people expected Bruges to win, but to be, 2-0 down and a man down after, 10 minutes?
How many teams have we saw, though, go down to 10 men and still not lose 6 or 7 goals?
Yeah.
Because they set themselves up properly. I think, again, Russell Martin chased that game for far too long, but still pressing, going after him. And then all the gaps were starting to appear against a very, very good Bruges team.
Brugge's
team. But I think his tactics were all wrong. He should have just went 4-4-1. There we go, lads. We'll try and hit you in the break if we get something, and we ain't going to take
The game was over. The tie was over anyway.
Yeah, I know, but go 4-4-1. Don't embarrass yourself.
Max Ahrens as well. I know I feel like I'm picking on him a bit.
Yeah.
I am a bit, but he is really bad. Like, really bad. I know he wasn't playing yesterday, and Tavernier made a big difference, I thought. But that was the kind of challenge that you'd make if you didn't want to be on the pitch. That's what it looked like. You know, it was
you
so
said
bad.
That to me.
It was so bad. It was like he was almost wanting off the pitch, because what a stupid thing to do. Like, you know, you're 6 or 7 minutes into the game, let him score. Or let, you know.
It's an automatic reaction. I can see why he's done it. I'm no quite with you on that one, Stephen, but I think it's an automatic reaction. Somebody's going to buy you and you will automatically reach out to bring them back thinking, Yeah, I'll take one for the team here.
Now, I know there was a lot of chat during the game from Ali McCoist and Rory Hamilton, the commentator. They were chatting about this during the game. And I agreed with them. Club Brugge are exactly the sort of team that both Celtic and Rangers should be looking at and going, well, how come they can do it and we can't? Because you look at Club Brugge, their entire back four, it all came through their academy.
Yeah.
And I think they were all under the age of 23, 24.
Well, no, there was actually 12 years apart. There was one of the players where an older player,
there's not Mignolet in goals.
But they came through, no, he didn't come through the academy, did he?
No.
But anyway.
I was meaning the actual outfield.
But they all came through the academy.
Right. And, you know, they brought on an 18-year-old. I think they brought on a 19-year-old as well. Belgians. And I said it last week as well. Finlay Curtis, every time I've seen him, makes a difference when he comes on the pitch. Why are they not playing him? Like, what is it that Celtic and Rangers are so scared of doing for bringing through young Scottish players? And I've mentioned this so many times on this podcast over the past few years. How come Club Brugge can do it, but Celtic and Rangers can't? Club Brugge are still expected to win the league, or not expected to win the league, but to challenge for the league.
How long have we got?
We've got as much time as we want.
You know my background. So I came through that background, but it wasn't academies then. So it was S-Forms back in the day. And you remember this fabled 10,000 touches? Mm-hmm. Everybody had 10,000 touches a week to make you a decent player. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, and me and you have talked about it, because I know your background with the football as well.
Yeah.
You train three times a week. So I was going into St Mirren once a week when I signed for them as an S-Form, I trained a couple of times with your boys' club teams. Then Saturday morning you played with school, Saturday afternoon with boys' club, and Sunday afternoon with boys' club. That's all gone. Mm-hmm. That has all gone because academies have taken over and you're not allowed to play for school or boys' clubs. So a lot of boys are getting vastly reduced touches.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your first thing. Second thing is the coaching's rubbish. The coaching's absolute crap. I've worked in Hearts Academy. I've seen it firsthand. Guys who should not be near a football, never mind giving a football to a young player to coach them. And the third thing is now they're putting in the heads of young players, oh, where do you play, son? And the young guy pitches up and he says, oh, I'm a CDM. And I'm looking, what's a CDM? What do you mean you're a CDM? Central defensive sitting midfielder. There's an S in there as well. So they all just want to sit in there and... Well, I was watching, was it Gary Neville said yesterday, watching the Man United, the Liverpool game, and he called out this back passing as a disease. The passing from side to side is a disease. It's a disease in the game. Nobody wants to go forward. No wee boys want to be a striker anymore. Play between the goals, hit the back of the net. So there's some of the problems and issues.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you've said there, but what I asked specifically is...
And it's not just Celtic Rangers, sorry Stephen, it's Aberdeen, Dundee United, everybody.
No, you're right, you are right. Most
Scottish
football, they are guilty of just saying, well, he's...
Dundee United brought in 13 foreigners.
I know, you're totally right. But I think it highlights it more because Celtic and Rangers still hoover up the best of the young players in Scotland. Like, they still get the best of the youngsters, right, that are going about.
I agree.
And, you know, the boy Daniel Cummings, who was at Celtic, is just signed for West Ham for a few hundred grand or whatever. And Celtic are like, oh, we can't compete with, you know, the English Premier League's down south. And I'm like, well, you could just play him. But like I know he's 16 or 17 years old. There's a boy who came on for Liverpool in a high-pressure game, scores the winner against Newcastle the other night. Arsenal last week, fair enough, slightly different circumstance. They were playing Leeds. They were up by a few goals. 15-year-old coming on. So how come teams at the top end of the English Premier League can still see it fit to bring through young players, but Celtic and Rangers can't?
Because go back to what I've said, they've got better people within their academies bringing them through. They've got better managers who, if you take Arne Slot, people like that, who... Foreign, yeah, let's give them a chance. Let's put them in there. And they do that.
Yeah.
Consistently they do that.
But it's like, can they not look at...
Sorry, Stephen, come back. As well, I go back to the parents, and the parents can call me if they want to and come in. They're to blame as well. Oh, he got to play for Celtic. We're Celtic people. We're Rangers people. What do you mean, Celtic and Rangers people? Do you want your son to do well or anything? You know, so one of my grandsons is at the Dunfermline Pre-Academy.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, he doesn't support the Fairland, but I wouldn't have him playing anywhere else. Because I think if he does well enough, time he gets through to 15, 16, he'll get a game.
He'll get a chance.
At 17, he'll get a game. And see if you're not playing with your first team at 17, 18.
I find it all a bit depressing because I think Scottish football going forward looks bleak. Totally. Like, in terms of, you know, there are obviously a few good players coming through. As I mentioned, Finlay Curtis, I think.
But there could be so much more.
There should be, and there should be so much more, because Celtic and Rangers have the chance, and this is why I focus on them as opposed to, you know, teams further down the league. They have a chance. When they're playing weaker teams at home, why are they not? Why are they not bringing on younger players? And then they'll moan about the likes of Daniel Cummings going to West Ham, and then they're like, oh, can he compete? Play him then.
Here's the classic.
There's no pathway.
Here's the classic for you. Go back to the academy football. So I was at Hearts Academy for 4 or 5 years. So we'd go and play Celtic and Rangers at their training grounds and all that kind of stuff and all that. Now, back in the day then, what we did was you were supposed to give every boy at least 30 minutes. So you played 3 30-minute games.
Uh-huh.
Everybody had to get 30 minutes. So me and my assistant, Gary, we knew Celtic and Rangers weren't doing that. So we'd take a note of the team at the first 30, second 30, and third 30. Guess what? Rangers and Celtic never changed until the last 5 or 6 minutes if they thought they were well ahead.
Mm-hmm.
They kept this best team, best players, all the way through at academy football. Coaches, guilty.
So,
guilty.
I think there's, we could speak all day about this.
That's what I said. How long we got?
Aberdeen as well. You know, I thought sending off was a bit harsh. You know,
sending off is poor. But again, they just collapsed.
They did collapse, and also, like, you know, I wasn't a sending off. Aberdeen were really unlucky. It was a bad decision. However, the previous week, Stoia Bucharest got a guy sent off and it wasn't a sending off.
And scored twice.
Exactly. So I think swings and roundabouts a wee bit here. Aberdeen into the Conference League, and I think, as we've mentioned, problems at Aberdeen. Big problems at Aberdeen. Hibs just almost getting through. 3-3 draw against Legia Warsaw, and it looked like they were just about to squeak through, and then obviously concede again. You look at the matches that they've played. Lost, you know, Mitchelland late on in extra time, and two worldy goals that they lost as well. Then they beat Partizan Belgrade, and then they miss out to Legia Warsaw. It's ironic that Hibs are the only team who have kind of done anything positive in a Scottish sense this season, and Dundee United, sorry, before this guy shouts at me, the Dundee United fan. But Hibs and Dundee United are the only ones who've, like, actually won some games in Europe this season, and they're out.
Yeah, and?
That's what I'm saying. I'm
still poor. I tell you why, it's poor because they can't defend. Hibs cannot defend.
Hibs have a problem defensively.
They've got to score 3 or 4 goals to win every game.
Yeah. But I do think I felt a bit sorry for Hibs. I thought they were a wee bit unlucky. But yeah, there we are. So not a good week for Scottish teams in Europe at all. And as ever, you can get in touch with your comments on YouTube. John Robertson has been appointed interim manager at Ross County. Who'd have thunk it?
Who's surprised with that one?
Reports that Hamilton have been issued a winding up order as well. So the shambles continues at Hamilton. Although I was hearing about a takeover possibly happening as well. So God knows what's happening there. Hearts have broken their transfer record with signing Brazilian midfielder Agu. £1.7 million, couple of million euros.
I can see a song coming for that.
Yeah.
I got do.
Very good. Derek McInnes, I heard him speaking about him yesterday, and he was basically saying he's the real deal, and he reckons they'll be able to...
He better be for that money.
Well, exactly. as we mentioned, Niggerman leaves Rangers. Raskan looks like he's out the door. Miofsky in at Rangers. Good signing. I think Miofsky will score goals.
He will score goals, provided he gets a service. He will really need the service.
Yeah, I think... I was saying this yesterday. Like, why was Celtic not in for Miofsky?
I don't understand it. I don't know. You would have to phone Brendan Rodgers. Brendan, you're listening? give us a bell.
Because that's, for me, that's a total no-brainer. Aberdeen fans, not happy.
Oh, I know he's in for a rough time when he goes back there to Pittodrie. He's in for a really...
What did you make of all that?
About the stick he's going to get.
Yeah.
That's just par for the course with supporters. I mean, I remember when I left Aberdeen to go to Hibs, went back to Aberdeen, got a stick. When I left Hibs to go to Motherwell, back to Hibs, got a stick. They just get a stick. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural fear of the Scottish fan when a player leaves you, even though he does really well for you.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, he put a blue jersey on.
Yeah.
And that's worse.
Yeah. Balakawasha and Sirachi in at Celtic as well. And of course, you join us on transfer deadline day, don't we, Steve?
Yeah. Is Jim here?
How you doing? You all right? Great to be here, obviously. I'm very busy today. I've just been speaking to Dave Whelan all morning. It's been incredible. But listen, Steve, what we got? It's a busy day.
Well,
lots of action. Celtic, Rangers, everyone signing player. Aberdeen need about 11 new players and a new manager. So what's happening, Steve?
Well, I hope you take a big deep breath here because there's so much going on, Jimmy. You ready?
I'm born ready. You know, that's what they say. That's the motto.
I'm ready. Celtic have joined Rangers, Lyon and Leicester City in the race to land 22-year-old Crystal Palace winger Jesseroen Rak-Sakyi
on loan.
What do you make of that, Jim?
Listen, I can't believe it. I mean, I've never heard of the guy in my puff, so he might be good or he might be shite, because I think a lot of the players that come in for the Premier League on loan tend to be a bit shite.
But it's another winger.
It's another winger. We love a winger, don't we?
Hey, well, Kenny McLean, aye ready.
Aye ready. It's Kenny
Rangers and Wrexham are looking at him.
Rangers and Wrexham in for Kenny McLean. Wow. That's 33 years old. I think he must live with Steve Clark. I think he's a bidey in with Steve Clark, to be honest with you, because he keeps getting in that Scotland squad. But nobody quite knows why. But yeah, it could be at Rangers or Wrexham. Where would you go? Rangers or Wrexham?
It's got to be Wrexham, hasn't it?
It's got to be Wrexham. Hollywood.
Been films Hollywood. And star. And
amazing. Yeah,
brilliant. Yeah,
fantastic.
But here we go. Still, are you ready?
All right, yeah.
Big Cyril. Nice one, Cyril. He's off-skated Panathinaikos or Aiki Athens.
That's
somewhere in Greece for his holidees.
Listen, Athens is a beautiful. Have you been to Athens
no,
before?
No, is it nice?
I've never been, but it's better than Wishaw, I believe.
Oh,
so,
well, there you go. But
listen, I can't believe they're selling Desi.
But I ready are in for our Everton striker, Youssef Chermiti.
I heard about this one, Chermiti.
£10 million.
£10 million. Steve, that's a lot of money. That's £10 million. Well, imagine what you could do with that. You could buy three Cyril Dessers for that.
You could, and maybe four.
Maybe four. You could squeeze another Cyril Dessers
in there.
But
still with iReady.
Still with Rangers.
Yeah, iReady are doing really a lot. They're looking to get agreement with Marseille for the Canada centre-half, Derek Cornelius.
Cornelius! What an old-fashioned name that is.
Was
Cornelius.
He on Planet of the Apes?
I think he might have been Derek Cornelius. Sounds like somebody who died during the First World War. But
yeah, and still with iReady.
Still with iReady.
They want to punt Clinton Nisiala.
Yeah.
He's got the Dynamo Kiev.
I mean, I would be punting him as well, because I wouldn't be playing him.
Well, why are Dynamo Kiev want to buy him?
I don't know. I really don't know. Kiev, maybe a lovely city. Obviously, a bit war-torn at the moment, but you know.
But moving across the city.
Yeah.
Celtic with no players at all in the team there, but Kasper Dolberg could be coming in.
He's Danish. He's Danish. That means he's from Denmark, Steve.
So he must want to play with Kasper.
Danish bacon. Yummy, 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 yum.
Is it that nice?
Very much so. Danish bacon.
Is everybody Danish land?
So where's he about just now?
He's in Anderlecht.
Anderlecht.
But they're
right.
All called Casper.
They're all called Casper. Friendly ghost.
And still with Celtic, Adam Ida, he's away now to Swansea City. Well done him.
Well done, Adam Ida, and whoever's brokered this deal, what's it, £7 million? Whoever brokered this deal for Celtic, knock down the statue of Jock Stein and build a statue of whoever this guy is, because my God, how you've managed to get £7 million for Adam Ida.
Plus £35 million in add-ons.
Jesus Christ, man. What's happening to the world? The world's gone mad, Steve.
It has indeed. They're moving on. Sebastian Tunecki.
Where's my music? There we are.
Yeah, right. Sebastian Tunecki played for Hammarby against Oysters on Sunday.
Oysters?
He can be going to
do you
Celtic
like Oysters?
Well.
I'm not a big fan of Oysters, to be honest.
Have you got
to
swallow it in a
Swallow it whole. You can get baked ones, but they look even worse. Oh. I'm more of a mussels man, you know?
Well, let's not bother with him. But Birmingham City, back to Celtic again. They're getting rid of somebody else. The Yang experiment is over.
The Yang experiment is gone. It looks like he's away to Birmingham. And yeah, well done whoever brokered that deal as well. £3 million. Jesus Christ. Right, what else have we got?
Well, Ryan Jack in talk with Dundee. I thought he'd retired 17 years ago.
Ryan Jack, the man with two first names, looks like he's going to Dundee. Poor him. And yeah, where's he about just now? He's in Turkey. He will come back with his teeth done and his hair, I'm sure.
And a bum as well.
A Turkish bum lift. Yeah, exactly.
Hibs as well. Ellie Yoon,
he's away. He's off.
Could be Lazio Warsaw, would you believe?
Who they beat them?
They've tapped him up when he's been in the tunnel. Do you fancy coming to
Warsaw? It's good for a stag, too.
back to Aberdeen. We're pals at Aberdeen. Esther Sokler, he could be away as well. He wasn't even in the squad yesterday. And Falkirk also want to get Aaron James on loan from Wrexham.
On loan from Wrexham. Swapping Wrexham for Falkirk. Jesus, Aaron. What's happening?
How the mighty fall.
How the mighty have fallen. What's that? Esther Sokler. He's away. He's away. Believe it.
Scored a goal, was waving to everybody. And this last one, Jim, you'll love this last one.
Yeah.
Celtic will receive a sell-on fee for former striker, Hyungui, as he prepares to leave Ghent for Stuttgart in a £24 million move.
£24 million pounds for a Oh no.
Jim.
Stuttgart, what are you doing?
What a transfer window.
What a transfer window it is. It's been absolutely sensational. Me, Harry Redknapp, Dave Whelan and yourself all going out for a bite to eat later on. How do you fancy that?
Sounds lovely.
What are you fancying?
Chicken curry.
I like a chicken curry. I thought you were going to say a good ramen, obviously.
Well,
after last week.
Did we not get a good ramen last week?
I've not had a ramen since last week. So,
well, you're hanging about, but you're hanging about the wrong people.
I'm clearly hanging about with the wrong people. We need to get a good ramen. So, John, do you fancy a good ramen, or what do you fancy?
I'll have a ramen, Jim.
Yeah, excellent.
Because it used to be your jamming,
mm-hmm.
your ramen. Going ramen
I tell you what,
with you.
If we get Dave Whelan there, that'll be a big surprise as well.
Steve dead. Shut up, Steve dead. I've been phoning them. Who've I been speaking to on the phone? I've been speaking to Dave Whelan all my. Don't tell me Dave's dead. Don't break it to me like that, John.
Sorry, Jim.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Dave Whelan. Dave Whelan's no dead, is he?
Is he in a good ramen?
Dave Whelan. Dave Whelan's no dead.
Is he not?
No! Dave Whelan's alive and well,
are
you
sure?
Dick! Can't believe you nearly broke. That's the second time in 2 days they announced that. Partick Thistle announced that Jimmy Bone had died yesterday and he's not! So stop announcing people that are dead! Are you in charge of Partick Thistle's Twitter?
Wow, is Dave Whelan still alive? I thought he was
dead. Dave Whelan is 88 years old, he's alive and well, and I spoke to him this morning.
Right, okay, that's
and he's going for lunch!
Good news. He's going for a ramen.
Christ! Killing off Dave Whelan on the show. Well, they sounded all right on the phone to me this morning. So.
Well, as long as you sound all right to you, Jim.
And there he goes. There goes Jim White there. There he goes.
Is that the last we'll see of him?
Until January. Yeah.
Yeah,
he goes away on his holidays.
Oh,
so
good.
That's fine. He's away with Dave Whelan, who is very much alive. Why did you think Dave Whelan's dead?
I don't know. I thought he'd passed away.
Well, according to his Wikipedia.
No, he's 100% still alive, Dave.
Right.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear.
Great,
do you know who else I thought was also dead?
Yeah.
But still very much alive. The Reverend Al Green.
For age. Al Green?
Al Green is still alive.
How old's he? He'll be a good
Al
age.
Al Green must be an absolute right old age.
Yeah.
What age is he?
The Reverend Al Green?
Yeah.
86.
Wait a minute. Is there two Al Greens?
Let's stay together.
So did he sing that as well?
Aye. Oh, he's only 79.
He's only 79, aye, yeah.
Wow.
Al Green, Dave Whelan, Jim White, Steve Cowan.
We're all here.
And me, what a five-a-side team. Right, let's get to the football then, and let's start on Saturday. Livingston 1, Hearts 2, a late winner for Hearts, but it keeps their good start to the season going, their joint top of the league.
Yeah.
And more than 6,000 Hearts fans at the match as well, which is great stuff. And there seems to be a wee bit of momentum building there. However, international break, and then they play Rangers at Ibrox next, so a big test for them.
I think they'll be looking forward to that. And I think the only concern for Derek McInnes, when you look at it, they always seem to start slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to always be a second half fight to get the goals and win the game.
They can't keep doing that.
That will come to an end sometime, so he's got to get the first half right.
And you know what? Aberdeen were a bit like that.
Yeah,
last season when they went on the really good run
yeah.
and then, you know, eventually did come to an end, but it remains to be seen whether Hearts...
But they're scoring goals,
They are scoring goals. They've brought in a keeper as well, which I think will be important because it looks like Craig Gordon is nowhere near being fit.
Yeah.
I don't know,
need two decent keepers.
I don't think Xander Clark is the answer. Livingston will be a wee bit gutted, obviously. Not getting something for the game, but...
But Smith... What about the goals he scores? I mean, he looks like a good player.
He does. He does. Livy. Absolutely. So Hearts, 3 points for them on Saturday. 2-2 between Motherwell and Kilmarnock. Motherwell, again, we've spoken about this so many times on this podcast, look really good, play some brilliant football, but very leaky when it comes to conceding goals.
Yeah, it's very much a high jeopardy game, isn't it? They're getting themselves forward there. Can't seem to defend either. Four draws any other season, Motherwell will be saying, well, we'll take that. But how they've played and the goals they've scored, they should maybe be sitting at 7 or 8 points.
Kilmarnock as well, though, I think are going to be fine. You know, I think there was a lot of sort of, oh, Stuart Kettleway was a bit of a meh appointment and they weren't really enthused by him. But it looks
safe pair of hands.
He's getting results.
Yeah, safe pair of hands. So again, getting a couple of goals away from home, maybe disappointed not to get 3 points.
Yeah. Right, let's move on to the games yesterday then. Rangers Celtic was awful.
Dreadful.
So the lowest XG of any game since it became a thing in 2019-20. So expected goals for those who are interested in that. It was just dire. I thought Rangers were the better team overall, certainly in the first half. But without creating too much, I know the goal...
He's
offside, so there's not really any argument there. But, you know, without really breaking down Celtic, I do think they were much improved. I thought Diamande had a really good game in the middle of the park. So he was aggressive. And, you know, I thought it really put a stamp on the game. Was impressed by him. As I said, Magoma, the left back, couple of really shaky games for him. Thought he played well yesterday, though.
But he must have under a lot of pressure.
Tavernier. Made a difference coming back in. I mean, he still can't defend, obviously, but, you know, made a difference going forward.
Great long throws.
Thought Suter had a decent game. Still not sure about his centre-half compatriot.
No.
Elsewhere, I thought Barron actually had a decent game as well. I thought Barron and Diamande had decent games.
What they did, Stephen, they were more aggressive and they played a lot more back to front.
Yeah.
Then this tippy-tappy build-up stuff. It was get the ball forward, get the ball long. Obviously, they've got Miovski now, who's the point of reference up front. He's running in behind, causing them problems. That was their big difference.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Russell Martin... Why do you think Russell Martin... He basically had to do something because had they got a doing yesterday...
Or even lost yesterday, 1-0. He'd have been probably out the door. He had to change it. He had to say, right, I need to change something. And maybe even some of the players, the more experienced ones, have been saying, maybe that's why Raskin is no longer part of the club because... We know he's vocal.
Well, what was it not Neil McCann said after the game? What was it?
He said, I had to have several conversations with him because he does challenge you. And eventually he says it seeps into him when you can see the results and the benefits of what the coach is trying to do. So Raskin's maybe saying, well, look, Russell, this isn't working. I'm not buying this because draw, beat six, you know, this kind of thing. So I think then Russell Martin's went, maybe Nico's got a point, but he still has to go.
Yeah.
And Nico's going to go.
Nico is going to go.
So he sacrificed his principles to get a result, to calm the audience down, to calm the crowd down.
And now there's 2 weeks until the next game. I mean, still Rangers fans, as you say, you know, booing at the end, Russell Martin.
When he walked up the tunnel, he was clapping, they're booing him.
Now, like, there was a couple of people saying, oh, like, you were a bit off on the Rangers stuff last week. We're not Rangers fans, right? So I don't have my finger on the pulse of what every single Rangers fans think. But, you know, listen, I'm willing to accept that... the vast majority of Rangers fans want him out.
Well, when they're hanging up banners at the gates of Ibrox, that tells you everything you need to know.
So, like, but it doesn't look like they're going to get rid of him. Like, it doesn't look like they're going to get rid of him.
No, I think the Americans are going to say, right, just keep at it now, keep at it. And I always think when you get to the end of the first 9 or 10 games in the Premier League, the first quarter, Stephen, then if it's not working then, so if you're, say, 10, 11 points behind Celtic and Hearts, somebody will pull a trigger then. They won't allow that to go on and on and on.
But they spent so long getting him. Like, it was kind of protracted in the summer. I know there was a couple other, like, you know, your boy Ancelotti and guys like that. But, you know, Russell Martin's their guy. They picked him. Mm-hmm. And to admit 2 or 3 months down the line that actually, oh, no, he's not, and then bullet him. Like, I think that's going to be a big call, but I can't see it ending any other way.
Well, it always takes the bigger man to put his hand up and say, sorry, I got that wrong, and do it now.
And also, as we've mentioned so many times, this was meant to be yet another big rebuild for Rangers. Another rebuild.
Well, there's 11 players are in so far.
Exactly. So they've allowed them to sign a lot of players. A lot of players have left the building as well. And that's what a lot of people have been calling for. A lot of Rangers fans have been like, right, we need an absolute clear out. Mm. They've had a clear out. The clear out is continuing today in the transfer deadline day, and they'll get players in. But a lot of them still don't look good enough.
No, and again, but I don't think that's just a Rangers problem either. I think that is a Celtic problem too. The standard of players that they're getting nowadays is quite frankly rotten. I mean, it's bang average. I would call them fizzy drinks, quite a lot of them. You look at it, you mentioned 60 million spent by Celtic. Who would you pick out that has done well? You struggle. Mm-hmm. Rangers have spent, I don't know, best part maybe got us a 20 million so far, 25 million. Mm-hmm. Who would you pick out? You know, Gassama, maybe up front, maybe he's done all right-ish.
Mm-hmm.
The standard of players are no back in the days when it was like the
Suttons. I'm not convinced with Asgard or boy Ant-Man.
But these players are not even getting anywhere near the Premier League in England.
Yeah.
They're having to come to Scotland first to try and prove themselves to get a move there. So very few people do it. It's a standard of player. The standard's dropped and the old firm don't have the money to spend.
And I think that was sort of, you know, that was on display yesterday. I thought it was just really, really poor quality from both teams. I thought Celtic, particularly first half, were awful. Second half, they did improve a wee bit. I actually thought when
they made the substitutions,
when Shin came on, thought he made a difference. Forrest made a difference when he came on. Concerned about Kieran Tierney, still can't finish a game.
Looks like he's gone.
Yeah, legs are not good.
Looks like they've gone.
I actually thought Scales played well for Celtic.
So the best player in the park for Celtic and maybe even Razor was an Irishman.
I thought Liam Scales had a decent game. Casper Schmeichel was a wee bit all over the place in goals, particularly with the
hopeless with crosses.
Yeah,
hopeless.
And lots of problems with Celtic. Like, Celtic were so far ahead of everyone last season, but they've regressed so much.
Do you know something,
so
Stephen,
quickly?
We have talked over the years about this, and See what you think about this theory. Every team goes through a bad cycle at some stage in the season. It happens.
Yeah.
And I've said to you, the old saying, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I think Celtic are going through their bad cycle now.
Okay.
I think they've come off of the back of last season. The Scottish Cup has dented a few confidences and, you know, a few people are maybe feeling a bit out of it. And they've not started well. And obviously the hope for the Celtic fans is, and Brendan Rodgers is, that they will get better. So I think they're going through their bad cycle just now.
Okay. How many players do Celtic need to bring in today?
Okay. Right back.
Mm-hmm.
Another centre midfielder. Because McGregor can't last forever. You need somebody to fill that position eventually. And at least three front men. Maybe even six.
Today.
Uh-huh. Because if it's true what we're hearing about Maeda.
Mm-hmm.
They've only got Forrest left. Yang's going to Birmingham.
Yeah.
Ida's away.
Shin.
Shin's there, but it's unproven quality. John Kenny, the young boy.
Well, there's chat that he's away as well. So how have they managed this so badly? How are Celtic even in this position? They've got so much more money than everyone else. They were so far ahead of everyone else last season. They did tail off towards the end, and obviously that resulted in the Scottish Cup defeat as well. Aberdeen played well in the day. But how have they allowed... It's like a sort of managed decline.
So, again, I think it's a problem when you've got these recruitment teams. Recruitment director, sporting director, fish and chip dinner director, any director, give them a title and give them a name, who go and get these players and bring them to the attention of the manager. Now, I know we've moved on and this is 2025. I get that. But most good managers or great managers will go and watch a player. I'll come and watch you, Stephen. And I'll sit in the stand for 90 minutes and I'll be sitting with a laptop and I'll be sitting with computer graphics and AI news coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, right, oh, by the way, he can run. He's good over the ground, good physique, likes a challenge, gets himself in the box. Sign him. And generally, 75% of the time, I'll get the right player. Look at it now. You're now getting the wrong player.
Okay, just to sort of...
Engels, Trusty, Ida, but Bernardo.
They were all Rodgers signings.
I know, but...
They were Rodgers signings.
Yeah, but the manager didn't go and cast eyes on him.
How do you know that?
Because he would have said, he says, yeah, I went and see him play. You would say to the fans, I went and saw him play, but my recruitment team put these people in front of me. That's what you get.
No. Like, last season...
I'll bet you didn't go and see them.
Last season, Rodgers was in charge of the... Like, they didn't have anyone. There was nobody in the building.
I'll bet you didn't go and see them.
Okay, well, then we'll never know.
Well, Jim Goodwin yesterday, when he was talking after the game as well. Says, yeah, I'd give the profile to the recruitment
to
team.
To the guys.
Go and watch them. Go on a plane. On a bus. Honestly.
You can write that off as an expense as well, you know.
Even better.
Yeah, so an awful game at Ibrox, 0-0. However, having said all of that, I bet you both managers are fairly pleased.
Oh, delighted. Absolutely delighted. Because if you get beat, there's an even bigger controversy in Firestorm coming. But it buys them 2 weeks for the international break. There's no much pressure.
Right, Dundee Derby, a wee bit later on yesterday afternoon. It finished Dundee 0, Dundee United 2. Sapsford and Dolcek with the goals. Stephen Presley remaining winless as a Dundee manager so far in the league. And Dundee United were comfortable winners.
They were. You know, I've just mentioned about the players. They've got 13 sort of foreigners coming in there. But the ones that played yesterday certainly look good. They look compact. They look as if they knew what they were doing.
It's taken a wee while, but I think Dundee United are building up a wee head of steam now, and I think Dundee United are going to have a decent season.
But he can't fall away again like they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to maintain this, so that's a challenge for United.
Dundee, we did say Stephen Presley might not make it to the end of the month as Dundee manager. He has. Congratulations, Stephen. You have seen September. But how much longer does he get after that? Again, he says he's a work in progress, and you know, if they bring players in like Ryan Jack, he might make a wee bit of difference as well.
No, make no difference. What does Ryan Jack bring to your team at 33?
I don't know.
Nothing. I'll tell you, nothing.
Experience.
Nothing. Nothing. Zap, zido, nadada.
Okay.
Z. So brings nothing.
Right. So how long are you giving Stephen Presley then?
I think he'll still get another 3 or 4 games. I'm telling you, the first 9 games, I'll be the teller. After that 9th, 10th game, decisions in some of these teams will be made.
Okay. Elsewhere, Hibs 1, St Mirren 1. We'll get onto the penalty in VRWTF, or the non-penalty as it was. But St Mirren, again, another draw. Hibs probably take that after what happened during the week. Obviously going out of Europe and having another long night.
Did they go out after the game?
They did go out after the game. Hibs, again, Bashiri scoring again.
Just shows you a bit of confidence getting the end of these set pieces.
Yeah, he's a real threat, isn't he? St Mirren, again, they'd have probably taken a point before the game, but they're a bit annoyed not to hold on.
They're just so hard to play against. I mean, the structure, the way they're set up, they're a big physical team and can play the two strikers. What a handful they are. I mean, an absolute handful, and they'll be all right. There's no problem with them.
Yeah. Again, Hibs leaky at the back. And again, I think Hibs will benefit now Europe's done and they can concentrate on the league when they come back for the international break, and I think Hibs will probably kick on. Lyndon Dykes as well, we're hearing, is signing for Hibs on loan from Birmingham. I think he'll be a good signing. I think he'll make a difference.
I wouldn't disagree with that, but where does that leave Kieran Bowie?
It's good to have competition.
I think it looks like he's bombed it already.
No, they're not bombing him out.
Well, since he scored that wonder goal in the European game, the last 3 weeks he's done nothing, and he was on the bench yesterday as well.
Why
not keep playing him?
Maybe he needs a rest. Maybe he's tired, Steve.
How can you be tired?
Well, maybe, you know,
he's 21, 22? You can't be tired at 22. Tired playing 1.5 games a week? You can't be tired. So, honestly, I think that if I was Kieran Bowie, I'd be saying, hey, David, have you got a minute?
Well, maybe that's the kick up the backside he needs.
But he scored the wonder goal that we all said it was. He scored 2 in the league early in the season as well. Mm-hmm. Then you're bombed out and they're bringing in...
He's not bombed out.
Well, you are. Because...
No, but surely, you're right. He might go and knock on David Gray's door and say, listen, right, what's going on
here?
But
why should he do that? Dykes has come from nowhere, hardly played anywhere, been injured for the last 17 months or something. And then he's coming to Scotland for his final part of his pension. I don't think Hibs need him.
Well, it shouldn't be a problem then for Kieran Bowie. If Lyndon Dykes is as shite as you just said there, it shouldn't be a problem for Bowie because he'll just come in and score loads of goals.
I think he's confident to be done by then. I think the manager's doing him in.
Yeah, the manager's doing him in.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think it's just adding competition? Surely that's a good thing.
But I thought they'd already paid a record fee for a striker whose name escapes me. So there's a competition.
Is he? I don't know if he's a striker, is he not?
Oh, he's a striker.
I don't know if he's an out-and-out
striker. So there was your competition.
Mm, right, okay, fair enough, we'll see. We mentioned that Aberdeen, big problems. Falkirk, fortunately winning again at Pittodrie by a goal to nil. Their first.
How can you say that?
Well, because the sending off, which we'll get to. Before that, Aberdeen should have been two or three up before the sending off.
They should have been.
They should have been.
Yeah. But they weren't, Stephen, were they?
They weren't.
They weren't.
Well, they weren't because, yet again, fortunate Falkirk.
Balls.
You know, riding their luck again, get a dodgy refereeing decision, and then...
We'll get into and then
obviously, you know, you're clinging on at the end and manage to get a scrappy goal.
Brilliant.
To win 1-0.
So, a scrappy goal.
Let's focus on Aberdeen though, and the fact that they've only won 5 games since November in the league. That's shocking.
It's really, really poor. And I think, is it, it's been, it's 5 out of 32, 33, something like that there. And the Scottish Cup, we've spoken about it again, Stephen, that papered over the cracks of what was a bad season last season and into the season.
Yeah.
Now they've started the season poorly as well. He's still got enough in the bank just now. But see, if we go into the next sort of 2 or 3 games and he picks up, say, only 2 points.
There's a lot of Aberdeen fans who aren't happy. A lot of fans happy with Jimmy Tulleen. Which is mental, given they won the Scottish Cup. On the face of it, on paper, you're thinking, oh, well, that's mental, they've won the Scottish Cup. But 5 wins since November in the league is, that's relegation form.
Yeah, and I go back to someone like Keskinen as an example. What did they pay, 800 grand for him from Preston?
Yeah.
800 grand?
No, that might be another guy.
Oh, yeah, so it was the other winger who's disappeared.
Aye.
Keskinen was 800 grand. What's he done?
Yeah, I know.
Nothing.
Aye. But you were saying, like...
Sockler wants away. Sockler was the main man there, and he's now not even in the squad. He's saying he wants away, so... Okay. Is there a problem with the manager?
I asked you this about Celtic earlier on. How many players do Aberdeen need today?
Probably about 5 or 6 as well. I mean, the goalkeeper is sound. I like Mitov. I think he's a good goalie.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many problems there. Devlin, well, are we going to talk about that now?
We'll get to that in just a wee sec.
Always would give you a 6, 7 out of 10, generally.
He was obviously, you know, unfortunately sent off yesterday. Yeah.
The 2 centre-halves I'm not convinced about. Middle of the park seem lightweight. And they need probably 2 or 3 strikers.
Yeah. Big day for Aberdeen. And you want to say anything about Falkirk, John?
First win in 15 years in the Premier League. Brilliant. Great to be back. Great to be winning. Very. Because you two were like, oh, you still get. Where are the points coming from? Where are the points coming from? You said that a couple of weeks ago.
Back on for the top 6 now, John? Is that what you're saying?
No, but listen, we got 3 points in Aberdeen.
Yeah, a fortunate 3 points.
A very hard place to go.
And you're not a bit disappointed it was only 1-0. I mean, you're playing against 10 men for the entire second half.
1-0.
And you managed to scrape 1-0.
And I was very excited to see the new boys
come on.
Kyrell Wilson looks like he's got pace in abundance. I've got just signed a 19-year-old from Manchester United.
Well done, you.
Who's going to be sensational as well.
He's going to be sensational. What's his name?
There you go.
What's his name?
Ethan Williamson.
Ethan Williamson. Yeah. I'm going to revisit this and see how sensational he is.
But you're playing the PSG way, John, and that's paying dividends for you.
There you go.
We beat Aberdeen at Pittodrie, Steve.
Playing like PSG.
Absolutely in their pomp.
Yeah. St Mirren next up at home for Falkirk, so that's a defeat. Aberdeen play Livingston. It's Dundee, Motherwell, Rangers, Hearts, as we mentioned, Hibs, Dundee United is on the Saturday night, and Kilmarnock Celtic is on the Sunday. Right, let's move down into the Championship then. St Johnstone remain top of the shop. However, they dropped their first points of the season. 1-1 it was against Morton. If you haven't seen Eamon Brophy's goal, it's an absolute screamer for about 25 yards, wrapped into the top corner. And I think that's 3 in 2 games for Eamon Brophy.
Back on the goal trail.
And another draw for Morton, who have drawn all 4 of their matches so far this season. Elsewhere, Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle, 3-2 winners against Raith Rovers. They were 2-0 up. Raith Rovers got it back to 2-2. And then it was Logan Chalmers, I think, who made it 3 goals from 4 games, I should say, for him. And Partick Thistle won by 3 goals to 2. And that moves them up into the playoffs. It was 2-2 between Dunfermline and Ross County. A wee bit back and forth here. Obviously, Ronan Hale getting both goals for Ross County. I think he was very much the difference between Dunfermline winning and not. Much improved performance from the Raith Rovers game. Obviously, I wasn't there. I was away at the weekend. But from the reports I heard, and some of my friends are incredibly negative, they were impressed with the way we bounced back. Amadi playing in the midfield as well. He's a summer signing. And our Jefferson Careques, our Peruvian attacker, he also started
from all over the world.
From all, listen, everybody wants to come to Fife.
Every corner of the globe,
just sort of homing in on Dunfermline. So 2-2. Yeah, a bit disappointed not to win. Zach Rudden, of course, signed as well last week.
Good signing.
I think, to be honest, a few of the fans were a wee bit underwhelmed by the signing.
But get your goals.
But if you look at his championship record, 1-3.
Yeah, it's good.
It's all right.
Yeah.
And I do think, hopefully, a couple of signings in at Dunfermline today as well. But obviously, the championship gets a wee bit longer because the loan window doesn't shut for another month or so. So I think there'll be business to be done. Elsewhere, Ayr United 1, Queen's Park 1. Struggles continue for Scott Brown. Still no wins so far this season. Still no wins for Queen's Park as well. Three draws for them. And are both beat Airdrie by a goal to nil. Danny Lennon in at Airdrie.
Yeah, been out the game for quite a while.
Yeah.
But remember we said we had the pots of, was it Ian's, Jamie's, David's?
And we didn't go Danny's. So Danny Lennon, new manager in at Airdrie, and he started off with a defeat at Gayfield. So Arbroath winners.
I think that'll end in tears.
And Arbroath up to third in the table, just tucked in behind Raith Rovers and goal difference. And you've got Partick Thistle, Dunfermline in fifth. Morton, Ayr United, Queen's Park, Ross County and Airdrie all yet to win a game this season. Right, let's move down into League One. It was another win for Inverness, an impressive one at home to Alloa. So that moves Inverness up to fourth in the table. Alloa were unbeaten ahead of Saturday as well, won all three of their matches. Montrose got the first win of the season, 2-1 against Peterhead. It was Queen of the South beat Kelty by two goals to win, a late winner for Queen of the South, and that moves them to the top of the table. They are top of the shop on 10 points. Stenishmuir 1, East Fife 1. East Fife couldn't follow up last week's Fife Derby win, so it was a draw over at Oakle View, and goalless between Hamilton and Cove Rangers. That means Cove Rangers are the only team in League 1 without a win so far this season. And yeah, they remain bottom of the table. Finally, in League 2, goalless between Clyde and Elgin City. Edinburgh City continued their good form as they try and get into positive points. They're still on -5 and bottom of the table, but they have beaten Dumbarton by 2-1. Dumbarton's first defeat of the season as well. East Kilbride, I should say, beginning to motor 5-0 winners at home to Forfar on Saturday. But they are top of the shop alongside Spartans. They were a goal to nil winner against Annan on Saturday, both on 12 points there. So 4 wins and 1 defeat for both East Kilbride and Spartans. And Stirling Albion beat Stranraer by a goal to nil. That puts them up to third in the table. Clyde, Elgin, Stranraer all yet to win in League 1. Do we have any pointless teams? Yes, we do. We've got two pointless teams, and one of them is Aberdeen.
Scary. Really scary, isn't it?
Relegation form for Aberdeen. Relegation form. Telling you. How long's Jimmy Tilleen got, in all seriousness?
He's got enough in the bank just now for another 5 or 6 games.
Edinburgh City, still technically pointless because they're on -5. Yeah. So those are your pointless teams.
I have to laugh at an Aberdeen supporter who posted on a Falkirk from... From an Aberdeen fan, great support from Falkirk, who play some nice football, and I really hope you stay up this season. And the reply to it was, hope you guys stay up too, mate.
I did see there was actually, 1,300 Falkirk fans up?
There was indeed, yeah.
Yeah, it did look quite impressive, actually. So, right, let's get to some refereeing decisions. La gente está muy loca. What the fuck? Right then, nothing happening between Livingston and Hearts, nothing doing in that game. Motherwell Kilmarnock, there was a check on the goal for a potential foul on the Motherwell keeper.
No foul. I mean, Callum Ward just made a rickets of that one and tried to blame somebody else.
Right, Rangers Celtic. Obviously, the suitor was offside, so it was rightly disallowed. Miovsky penalty claim in the first half?
No, he did whatever a good striker would do. He put his leg in between the scales and the ball there, tried to get a trip. Clever play, but no penalty.
There was also the one on Finlay Curtis at the end as well.
No penalty.
With Maeda coming in, no penalty for you. Dundee United, nothing much happening there. Right, the real
Nicky Devlin.
The real big controversy of the weekend was the disgraceful sending off of Nicky Devlin of Aberdeen. Won the ball clearly and cleanly. The game's gone, quite frankly. The game's gone. If that's a sending off, we may as well all go home.
John, yes, it was an absolute red card. And here, and I'm just going to compound this. I hope he gets fined 2 weeks' wages. Because he cost his team 3 points. He'll miss the next game. Nearly broke somebody's leg. And I hope he's taking the task for this, Nicky Devlin. Shocking cowardice challenge.
I thought the Falkirk boy obviously made the most of it. And Calvin Miller, it was, he's got history. And
very good.
I think that, you know, like, if anything, it was a foul the other way, to be honest with you. I can't believe it was given as a red card.
How
so.
You could sit there with a straight
face. It was probably a yellow. John, it was probably a yellow.
It was a red card.
Probably a yellow.
Steve, he's went up above the knee. He's went in above the knee. And
his knee towards
Andy
him.
Andy Halliday, I think, was on. He's going away, like, he's going away from goal as well. He's going in the other direction from what he should be.
But the Falkirk player sort of wimped at the challenge and put his knee
through.
He wimped at the challenge.
Because if he didn't, his leg would have been snapped in two.
No, not at all. And then he viciously pushed his knee forward into Nicky Devlin's boot. And I just thought it was a shocker. It was a shocker. Hibs.
La Esther Maloka. What the?
Hibs won, St Mirren won. Couple of things. Finnickleton's goal was checked for being offside.
He wasn't offside.
Bashiri penalty claiming to be shoved in the box. No.
The wind blew him over.
However,
yes.
Massive shout for handball. It was Jaden Richardson. And I don't know how this was not given as a penalty.
Maybe they thought it was a great save.
It was a great save.
I mean. That's a stonewaller.
But you know, I've looked at it, and we've spoken about this on the podcast before. If you're protecting your face, they generally don't give it. But he was out at the side, like he saved it.
If you're protecting your face.
No, but that's the rule. Well, if you're deemed to be protecting yourself, like your face and that, they don't give a penalty. No, I know you're laughing, Steve, but that's the rule.
Oh, the poor wee boy's faces.
I know. But that's the... I don't agree with the rule, but that's the rule.
But his hands were out here, though.
His hands were out there, and I cannot for the life of me think why that was not checked by VAR.
No, Hibs are robbed.
Like, it should have been a penalty.
Totally.
That's a big one that they've got wrong there. Right, okay, that is VR WTF. You are tuned in to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. The Big Scottish Football Podcast. Woo! The Big Scottish Football Podcast. Okay, it's time to play Who Dares Wins. It's me versus Steve Cowan. And we've got a certain topic and we need to open up the bidding. By the way, so many people impressed with your World Cup semi-finalist last week.
Wasn't it good enough, though?
I did it with my mates over the weekend. And between all of them, they got the 24. I mean, John.
Right.
John.
Yeah.
John.
I missed Hungary.
You missed Hungary. Uh-huh. You missed USA. You missed Austria.
I met Austria?
Yes, Austria. I've been to two.
Have they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I missed that. ChatGPT is shite. Can I just say, I typed that to ChatGPT and it spat out the answers. Don't trust ChatGPT. It's shite.
You're such a lazy bastard. Right. What we got today?
Well, I'm trusting Wikipedia today. And since it was such a dull old firm game yesterday, I thought we'd put some excitement back into it and ask you guys the top old firm scorers. So there's 12 players who've scored 8 goals or more in league Old Firm games. How many of them do you think you can name? 12 players have scored 8 or more goals in league Old Firm games. How many of those do you think you can name? Steve, in you get to bid first because Steve
did
it last week.
I'll go 5.
You think you can go for 5?
Do you think you can go for more than 5, Steve?
6.
6?
I'll go 7 then.
Name that 7.
There's no chance he's getting this. No chance. Right, okay, no problem. Right, okay, right, Stephen, how many of them do you think you can name?
Seven.
Right, let's go seven. Right, okay then, let's give you some tension. How many of these?
Right, I'll go with Henrik Larsson.
11 goals. On the list.
I'll go with Ali McCoist.
Top of the list, 17 goals in 43 League Old Firm games.
Now I'm struggling. right. Who else? I'm just trying to think of people who have played in loads of matches as well. There's somebody I want to say, but I think it might be a wrong answer. I'm trying to think of somebody a wee bit more obvious.
You've got five more to get, Stephen.
Yeah, I know. I know.
30 seconds left.
I know. No, there's no time limit on this.
Oh, that reminds me, I've not cut the bloody clock.
Of course, you've not.
No. And I've not put the boards in the studio again.
I'll go for Kenny Miller.
Can he be?
He has, and obviously scored famously for both sides.
He scored
as well.
For Celtic as well.
He's got 10. Oh, he got 10 in Old Firm games, Kenny Moore.
Right.
Well done.
Yeah.
Four more.
I'm not sure about this one either. I'll go for when's it go back to?
Oh, all the
no,
way.
No. That's
like,
just
like
the
all the way.
I goes
like
all the way.
All right. Okay. Right. I'm just thinking of like.
All
right.
Modern so, day. That's just all the way.
I don't know. I'm mega struggling. Mo Johnson. Yeah.
Sake.
There you go.
Can I give you some names, John?
Go on, Steve. Give me some names.
Jimmy McGrory.
Correct.
Fuck's sake. Bobby Lennox.
Nah.
Derek Johnson.
I was going to say Derek Johnson.
There you go.
Hooper.
Yeah.
Sutton. Kyogo.
Colin Steen.
Dembele.
You guys are useless at this.
No, wait a minute.
Who else have you got there?
Yeah, who else have you
right,
got?
Right, we've got right, I'll go from 12 up to the top ones. So Tom McAdam, Mark Haley got 8, Charlie Nicholas got 8 as well, Derek Parlin, John Campbell, Jimmy Quinn both got 9.
Fuck off, John. Like,
and
these
Sandy
are, these
McMahon
are people.
Anyway,
got,
it's a point to me.
It's a point to Steve, so it's 1-1.
It's 1-1.
Oh, who dares win?
Right, Scotland in action this week against Denmark, and then it is also Belarus on Monday night. So, first of all, the squad sort of half came out when we were recording the show last week. I was surprised to see couple of folk.
Kenny McLean.
Also surprised to see George Hurst. And I assumed that Tommy Conway was injured.
Scored
again at the weekend. He's scored, I think, 3 or 4 goals already this season. And Steve Clark was saying, he's really unlucky not to be. And I'm like, he is. He's really unlucky not. Now, I get why he likes Dykes, right? So he always likes bringing Lyndon Dykes on and stuff. And I actually think Dykes can do a job, right? I think he's gives you something different. You have to have Conway in the squad, surely. Were you surprised Shanklin wasn't in the squad?
Yeah, and Conway as well. But I suppose at the end of the day, see if you look at it maybe from the manager's point of view, the striker's not going to be the be-all and end-all in this game. I think if we're to get anything out of the Denmark and Belarus games, the goals will come from midfield.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, me and my mates was talking about this the weekend. We just need to basically...
McTominay, McGinn.
We need to make... Although McGinn's not had a great start to the season.
I know, but can get a goal.
I know. We just basically need to play a game that suits Scott McTominay and focus all our energy on making Scott McTominay...
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be the absolute focal point of the entire team because he's the best player on the team by a mile. I think he's got decisions to make, whether he plays three at the back or he goes four at the back. I personally, I think I'd probably drop Tierney and just play Robertson at left back and go four.
I don't understand why Robertson's not getting a game for Liverpool still, but there you go, that's another conversation.
I think
if it's me, you go 4-5-1.
Yeah.
And give McTominay that license to make sure he's up supporting whoever the striker is.
Yeah, and who would you play up front? Adams?
Probably Shea Adams, yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably go Robertson, McKenna, Suter, and then Hickey at right back. Yeah. And then,
although that's a danger because he's coming back in his left foot.
He is. But I think I like Hickey. I think he's good. He's a good player. And then you've obviously got Gilmore, McGinn, McTominay all in midfield. He likes Christie as well. I think Christie came on for Bournemouth yesterday. You've got Doak as well, obviously. He didn't get on Saturday. So a few decisions for Steve Clarke to make. Anyway, since it's an international break, we'll do this over the next few weeks. We are going to be kicking off our greatest ever Scotland team, okay? We're going to go through position by position. We're each going to nominate somebody. So Steve Cowan, myself, and producer John will each nominate one person to fill that position, and you will decide via a vote who gets into it. Okay? The ultimate team. So we're obviously starting with a goalkeeper, and Steve Cowan, your nomination is
Jim Leighton.
Why Jim Leighton?
I thought it was a really, really good shot stopper. I thought it was very, very brave. Obviously, back then, he couldn't play the ball at his feet. Wasn't very good at doing that. For those two reasons, for me, I think he was outstanding.
Okay, so he is your greatest ever Scotland goalkeeper.
Yep.
John, who are you going with?
Got to be Andy Gorham. Jim Leighton's big competitor. Obviously, those two fought over the gloves throughout the 80s and early 90s. He's called the goalie. And he was an outstanding goal. You just remember that game against Switzerland at Euro 96.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the save from Turquinas.
Yeah.
In the last 10 minutes. Unbelievable. He was just one of the greatest goalies that's ever pulled on a Scotland jersey. 43 games, but again, because he was competing with Jim Leighton for most of that as well, it was like two great goalkeepers, but I do think Andy Gorham just notched it.
Good decision to have if you're a Scotland manager in that time, because I mean, Andy Gorham was a brilliant goalkeeper.
Oh, no, without a doubt.
Just to go back on Leighton, I only sort of remember him when he was having a nightmare against Morocco in the World Cup in 1998. But I think to get to the World Cup, we played Sweden at Ibrox, and Jim Leighton was unbelievable.
Is that McGinley? Did McGinley score the
game? And it was John McGinley scored the winning goal, and we won 1-0. Yeah. But that was one of my, because, you know, Jim Leighton was obviously...
There's not much to pick between the two of them.
And I am going to nominate Craig Gordon. I think Craig Gordon, in terms of longevity, in terms of his shot-stopping, I think he's been absolutely brilliant, and he has to be in the conversation. Has to be in the conversation.
Wouldn't disagree.
Obviously played at the highest level down south as well, in the Premier League. And I think the fact that he looked done with his injury, he looked finished.
Yeah, the way he's come back.
And the way he's come back, and he's reached...
Twice,
yeah. He's reached... Of course, he broke his leg, yeah. So I think that Craig Gordon has to be in that conversation as well. What was it, 91 caps for Jim Leighton. I'll just double-check just now. Craig Gordon is... certainly up about that as well. He's on 81. So 81 caps for Craig Gordon. And he was also competing with Alan McGregor, who was a brilliant goalkeeper.
Yeah.
David Marshall, obviously, as well. I don't think David Marshall was quite as good as him.
Pool.
But that, you know, if those are your three goalkeepers, you're no complaining. Yeah. And they were for, like, a lot of years. So I think Craig Gordon has to be in that conversation. So he is my nomination for Scotland's greatest goalkeeper. You can vote, though, at Big Football Scott. We'll stick the poll up there. We'll stick up on Instagram and stuff as well, if producer John can be asked for that. Right, let's try and wrap up the mass footballer. I think we're close. So unless you're being slippery here, John, this is what we know. This player is retired. They haven't played for Scotland or indeed an international. They played for Hibs and won a trophy with them, but not the Scottish Cup. Now, you were sort of saying, oh, but you said trophy. Now, obviously, we meant Scottish Cup or a League Cup, John, is what we meant by that. But you've decided to take that the wrong way.
What? No, you asked, have they won a trophy with Hibs? That was the question you
asked. Yeah, but that's...
And they said, I have.
Aye, but like, if it's a Challenge Cup or like a championship, that's not a real trophy.
What do you mean that's not a real
trophy?
It's
not real. You're Hibs.
Have they won a trophy with Hibs? Yes, they have.
Aye, a Scottish Cup or a League Cup.
Well, it might be that. Well, you know it's not a Scottish Cup because you eliminated that last week.
Yeah, but now I'm going to have to ask a question. Have you won the League Cup with Hibs?
Well, you can ask that.
Do you know who I think it is?
I'd be very surprised. I'd be very surprised if it's that person.
He's retired?
For a number of reasons.
Didn't play international football?
Yes, he did. Oh, yeah, 100% did. Yeah, aye, got about 40-odd caps.
Oh, did he? Oh,
aye.
Well, set him off then.
So it's not him.
Okay.
Right. We're going to have to ask if you won the League Cup, because that's...
Because
then that'll prove whether John's been slippery here.
But it could be the championship.
At least we know it then will be the championship. Yeah. Okay, so have you won the League Cup with Hibs?
No.
That's bad form, John.
So no Scottish Cup, no
bad
League Cup.
Bad form.
Championship.
So it's the championship winning team.
That's bad form.
It is bad form. It is absolutely bad form.
You get the championship.
How do you know it's the championship winning team? Oh, you can't see. People were complaining about this last week when you basically opened up Wikipedia, Stephen, and then went through the full of the League Cup and Scottish Cup. Sides.
How?
People didn't like that
because we're all
dead. It was cheating.
It's not.
Well,
I'm trying to work it out.
Okay.
What are other people doing to try to work it out? Try to remember the 1991 League Cup winning squad off the top of their head.
If you're a Hibs supporter, you would know it.
Yeah, but I'm not a Hibs supporter.
Well, that's true.
Right. Stop your moaning and help us, right? So we basically think it's a person who's won the championship with Hibs. So they won it under McLeish, obviously.
Yep.
And they won it under Neil Lennon. So either one of those teams. I won't put it up on Wikipedia because you'll just moan. So get in touch at BigFootballScot on Twitter and let's finish off with a quiz, please. What's the score so far? Is it 3-1 to Steve?
3-1 to Steve.
And we need some kit.
Oh yeah, John, because you've not done that yet either.
We need some what?
Kit.
Oh, you need the boards.
We need the boards. Every single week. I'll get the wipes.
Honestly, is there any other producers in here?
Trust me. This has been years of this. How does it take you so long as well?
Because I bet you can't.
I'm really sorry to everyone who's either watching or listening to this, and John is just nowhere to be seen at this moment in time.
I need to get changed into my full grip strip. There we go. Because there's no happy dance today, you see? I brought in for the happy dance.
Thank you.
I didn't get to the happy dance. Sad.
Piss off, John. Right. Okay, so you know the format of the quiz by now. It's a joke, is what it is.
Because you're getting beat.
It's five questions. We get a top bin question that we can use at any point, but you need to use it before we get asked the standard question,
yeah.
And it's worth 2 points, okay? Steve's currently winning, and I will aim to get a question right this week because I don't think I got a question right last week.
You didn't, no.
Did you not win 1-0?
1-0, that's all you need.
It's an ugly win.
It was an ugly win.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right, I forgot to cut the timer as well. I'm not having a great week. So
we'll count it 30 seconds.
I'll count it at 30 seconds and I'll cut it for next week if I remember. Right, okay, we're ready.
If you remember, just set a reminder and just do it.
Right, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it right after the show. Right, okay, question number one. Name any Scottish football team that are nicknamed after a food.
After a food?
Yes.
Wait, What's your definition of food?
What? Something you put in your mouth and eat, Stephen? Funnily enough,
yeah,
that is food.
Yeah, but like.
Like, You're a man who enjoys food,
right,
Stephen.
Right.
Right. Okay.
No. Right. I've got an answer.
Okay. Right. That's 30 seconds up. Right. Okay. Steve Cowan, what have you written down?
A broth.
So have I.
A broth.
Yeah. Smokies.
They're not cut. No.
Lichties.
Absolutely not. They're the red lichties.
Shit,
what are you fucking talking about? Unbelievable.
Right.
You're getting the save effect.
Do you know?
I've got three here.
Right, go for it.
Jam tarts. Hearts, obviously. The cabbage. Steve Cowan, you should know that one.
No,
tangerines. Dundee United.
Right, okay. What about the staggies? You can eat a stag. You could eat venison.
Hold on. Venison is what you eat. You don't call it stag. You don't go to a restaurant and say, could I have the stag, please?
I'll have the staggies, please.
But that's not what you wrote down. You wrote out our broth.
I know, because I don't know why I did that.
Yes.
That was a stupid answer.
Uh-huh.
However, what about the Livy Lions? You could eat a lion. You could eat a lion.
Move on.
Honestly, you're clutching at straws here.
Move on.
But Hibs' nickname are not the cabin.
Yes,
it's not their official nickname.
They get called the cabbage.
They're the Hibs.
Am I right, Steve Cowan?
No, actually, no.
The cabbage.
Wait, Steve,
and ribs.
We're right. On that basis, we're right.
What? Why?
Because everyone calls our broth the Smokies, right?
No!
Yes, they do.
They call them the Lichties.
Who's ever called our broth the Smokies?
No,
Smokies come from our broth.
Yes, and that's why they get called the Smokies.
Move on.
No, I'm not letting them away with this. You're not getting away with a cabbage for Hibs nickname are the Hibs. Their official nickname is the Hibs.
It is.
It's not the cabbage. That's a similar situation to what we found ourselves in.
And Dundee United are the Arabs.
Exactly.
You don't eat an Arab unless you're Hannibal Lecter.
Well, precisely. But that's why we didn't put that down.
Yeah,
so you've just made up these nicknames here.
Mm.
And also, they're not the they're the Jambos.
Jam tarts. Hearts. Listen.
Move on.
I think you've had a shocker here, John.
Absolutely, 100%. No, you have had a shocker and are clutching at straws, Stephen Mill.
Shut up.
Anyway, here is your next question. Celtic signed Michel Ange Barquisha from which club? 5 million.
Do you want their nickname or their food-related
whatever
nickname?
Whatever you want to write down, Stephen. Whatever you want.
You got an answer?
Disappointed because
okay, right, I've got an answer.
You've both got an answer, right? Okay,
yeah,
right. Okay, Steve Cowan, what have you written?
Anderlecht.
Is that the right answer, John?
Marshall has saved. Yes.
Stephen Mills got a wee smile on his face.
Antwerp.
And you started with an A.
Yeah, 1-0.
And North of Belgium.
1-0.
Right.
Okay. Next question. Who were the last non-top flight club to win the Scottish Cup? Who were the last non-top flight club to win the Scottish Cup?
I think we've had this question before and I think I got it wrong. I'm struggling.
That's 30 seconds.
10 seconds to go, you better write
something down. That's 40 seconds. John, I'm timing it here.
Right, you're writing something down, Stephen. Right, okay.
He's rubbed it out and everything.
No,
come on.
No.
He's still writing, John.
What are you doing?
No.
No, hold on.
No, I was writing something funny.
John, I'm not playing anymore. If you let me away with this, I'm not playing.
I've not seen the likes since you and Cameron.
No, I'm not.
Put your false answer up.
I was just writing cabbage at the bottom because I wrote Hibs. That's genuinely what I was doing.
Right.
Inverness.
One of you has got it right. One of you has got it wrong. The person who's got it right is Stephen Mill.
No, but he's a cheat. He was out of time.
No, I didn't. I literally wrote cabbage.
I'm not playing.
I literally wrote cabbage.
One. You can't keep writing after the time.
I was just writing cabbage.
We don't believe him.
I'm not getting a point taken off me for writing
cabbage. You lied last week.
Right.
I didn't know, but you can see what I wrote.
Did you lie last week?
No.
Yes, you.
No,
he did. Right, he did lie last week because he was written to John McGinn. We need to go to listeners. Will have to go to VAR and we'll have to have a look at the camera shot to see.
I swear on my mum's life, or I was writing cabbage.
So if you added cabbage to it, that's fine.
I did write cabbage.
That's fine. But if you've rubbed out after the 30 seconds and then written Hibs cabbage,
no,
that's unacceptable.
I wrote cabbage.
I'm right. Just
letting that's their nickname. Right.
1-1.
One. What do you mean 1-1?
No, that's 2-1.
2-1.
2-1. Right,
let's go.
Okay, next,
what are we on?
Next question.
Do you want your top bin?
Number four.
I'm not playing.
What do you mean you have to play? Stop being a baby.
Question number four.
Right.
Nice, easy one.
Right, come on, John.
Which Queen song do Hearts fans sing about Claudio Braga? Which Queen song do Hearts fans sing about Claudio Braga?
Oh, you're playing new. Are you playing new because you know the bloody answer?
And get 30 seconds, that's 15 already.
I actually don't know this.
20 seconds.
Your concept of time, Steve, is
26. That's 30 seconds.
It's not 30 seconds, Steve. Right, you got. I'll tell you what it is, though.
That's time.
He's got about 10 seconds.
I genuinely don't know.
I'm putting my timer on next time.
I've written something down. Stop moaning.
Right, okay. Let's see what you've got. Let's see what you've got written down, Stephen.
Fat bottom girls.
It's wrong. Yes. Steve Cowan, what have you written down?
Radio Gaga.
There you go, and it is one of the best chats. Do you want to hear it?
Yes!
It is quite good, I have to admit, from Hearts. Yes, this is what they sound like.
Sit alone and watch your light and dream about European nights and everything we need to know. Our number 10 is Claudio. You remind me of those old time stars and every hero to play for our Hearts. You'll make us laugh, you'll make us cry, you'll make us feel like we can fly. All we need is Claudio Braga. Claudio Braga.
There you go.
Well done.
That was good.
2-2.
Right, is this the final question?
This is the final question, yeah.
You better not get this one wrong, Steve.
You not playing your top bin?
No. Absolutely.
I see what you tried there, Steve.
You not playing your top bin?
No.
No.
Right, okay, your final question is this. The Galabankies are the nickname of which club? The Galabankies are the nickname of which club?
Is it their actual nickname, or are we just making up nicknames for teams now, or...?
Both got some written down?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm doubting myself now.
Right.
Let's see your doubts.
Right, Steve.
You go first.
Both.
An Athletic.
And what have you written down, Stephen Mill?
An Athletic.
He's all smug there, isn't he?
An Athletic. Right, okay, it's a
tie break. He's so smug there.
There we go. Right, your tie break question is International Week. So the question is, how many hat tricks have the Scotland national team conceded?
Conceded, right? Ever?
How many hat tricks have the Scotland national team
this
conceded?
This could be anything, John.
It could be.
Scotland have played in hundreds of matches.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a closest to answer, isn't it? Just have to have an educated guess.
I don't even know what an educated guess could be on that. Okay, I've got an answer. You got an answer?
Yep, and you're first this time.
Yeah. Right, John?
Right, what have you got?
20.
20. Steve Cowan, what have you got?
4.
It's surely more than 4. If it's
it is more than 4.
See if it's like
5.
One ease is four out.
It can be eight. Surely more than eight.
And the winner of the shootout quiz this week is Steve Cowan. They've conceded eight.
Well, honestly, again, I mean, see the training I've done
eight?
This week, the studying, the people who have been actually texting me and saying, look, you might get this question, you might get that question. And I would also like to thank, hold on, there's some people I'd like to thank. I'd like to thank BB1872, Ryan, James, Barker Bert, Sean, hundreds and thousands of others. And just, hey, we are the champions.
Stephen's Googling it. Don't use ChatGPT.
4-1.
Right.
Right, no, right.
I'm going away. It's time. It's time.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24.
Right.
Scotland have scored about 50 hat tricks.
Right.
And how come we've only conceded 8?
Well, I don't know. That was the fact I've got.
Can you name anyone who has scored a hat trick against Scotland?
No, I don't care.
Well, see, there you go. If you can't even name one.
Can't even name one.
I don't care.
Scotland have conceded a total of 8 hat tricks in men's international football. The most recent,
Gerd Müller,
Landon Donovan for the United States in 2012.
Gerd Müller.
The country only conceded 5 hat tricks in its first 130 years, but then saw 3 more between 2003 and 2012.
That's mental. That's a mental stat.
Well, there you go. Everyone's walking away with something. They've learned something today, haven't we? That Scotland just don't concede hat tricks.
But yeah, I've scored like hundreds.
Yeah.
Well, that's a trick question.
That's a trick question.
Of course it's a trick question. Four! Four! Like, it's surely...
It's eight.
Right. Big Scottish Football Podcast. Again.
Nico Klassen.
A shocker.
This story scored one as well. Fred Spixley back in 1893.
Oh, I remember Fred!
Dennis Walshaw. Robert Earnshaw, remember? He scored one against
just...
you.
Go away,
Landon Donovan.
And we'll speak to you next week because we'll be
going to get me some better competition for this quiz.
Sure. Right, the quiz is back next week, maybe, and we are back next Monday. Enjoy your week, London, Scotland. We'll speak to you then. Bye bye.